lives. But we have again to ask ourselves the question, fundamental question, how to survive? How to make the life of our children not only better than ourselves, but how to make it not worse than we had our lives, you know, in the time of our childhood. It's a time of revolution. We are in the middle of it right now, because we have to redefine all the dogmas, of politics, of geopolitics. You know perfectly that there was this axis, this fundamental axis of geopolitics, East-West, for years, for ages, in fact. Right now, we should ask ourselves the question, what will be going on the other axis, North-South? Global North and Global South, but, you know, European North and European South as well. Because we are facing completely different challenges right now. We have the question of climate, the question of migration in the south of Europe, more and more. On the north of Europe, we have the question of safety. We have the question how to face Russian aggression, what to do in the next steps with NATO. What should we do, what kind of alliances we should build to strengthen our power, the power of freedom in European Union, in NATO. We are trying, you know, we are searching, we are creating initiatives like Free Seas Initiative, like Lublin Triangle, like Visegrad format. We are trying to find something new, some new ways of constructing this world. Because we know that the old answers expired. This is the time for the new answers. And I have my private theory that the 21st century will be the time of transition between 20th century and 22nd century. That 20th century was so intense in so many ways. Showed us how complicated human being can be, with all the totalitarisms, but also with such great achievements of humanity we showed in 20th century. But it was so packed, it was so intense, that we will be trying to digest it, all of these things, for decades now. Before we will be ready to think and to create the new world to come, when the generation of my grandchildren will be taking their shift. I don't know, maybe we need it. You know, we are in the middle of 20s, of the 21st century, and look what's happening. We have war just around the corner. We have, as I said, fundamental questions, not how to join this kind of class or what should we study and where will be the work. The question is about our physical existence, the very physical existence right now. Because people are dying. We are asking ourselves questions, you know, known for people like from, I don't know, 100 years ago. People were asking this kind of questions in 20s or in 30s of the 20th century. That's why, this is kind of my diagnosis of the situation, that's why we need completely different model of society right now, and we need completely different model of the political class, of politicians right now, with completely different attitude. Orientated to something completely different. We need people, I like this expression very much, who will be, who will be delivering the oxygen to this world. Not burning out the oxygen from the atmosphere, but they will be delivering it to people. We need politicians who won't be like, you know, sucking out all the air from the chamber, you know, and they will be trying to show you that they are the best and they are the only ones and they are the master of ceremonies and this is their show and you're gonna watch now because this is my show. We need people who will make some more place at the bench. We need people who will make some, wider space when we are sitting at the table together. To accept one more person and one more person, we need inclusive politics right now, not exclusive one. We need politicians who will understand that the terms of our being on, at the in the offices, it's a blessing, not the curse. You probably know or you don't know that when we were forming our coalition in Poland after last elections, we decided that we will be, for instance, sharing this office, sharing the term of on the office of the Marshal of Sejm, of the Speaker of Sejm. And I will be doing it for 2 years, and my colleague from the left party will be doing it for another 2 years because the parliamentary term is 4 years altogether. And people are asking me, why did you decide to accept it? It's a kind of like, you know, to be the Marshal of Sejm for 4 years. And I'm saying, not, it's a blessing that I have only 2 years. And after me, the next will come. With new ideas, with new imagination, with new model of being sensitive to the world, with new perception of problems. It's okay, it's perfectly right. It should be like that. These terms are blessings, that we are not the monarchs who will be there forever. Because, you know, it makes something wrong with your mind, something wrong with your perception, when you have no end. When you have no limits. Yes, I do have my limit, and I'm happy about it. I'm probably the most happy one about it, in my entire professional life. That I know that it will last only for 21 more months, and the next will come. And I will have to find a new ways to express myself, new ways to serve people I wanted to serve to. So I think that if we ask ourselves the question, what can a European citizen expect from politicians? I think that, first of all, we can expect, or we should expect, this feeling of realism. Not story tales, not trying to be, to persuade that I'm the most attractive one in the world and you should take the leaflet with my portrait everywhere you go and keep it in your wallet and, admire me because I'm your savior. I'm not. We should be pragmatic and we should be realistic. I mean, we politicians. We should know in what kind of world we are living right now. What are the dangers? What are the problems? Right now in this part of the world, you know what is the main problem and what is the real the main danger. What is the real challenge for all of us? It's a psychological thing that when everything goes right, we are just walking alone, doing our own things. But when things are getting worse, we are trying to find someone to cooperate with. We are looking for each other. We are trying to share life, share problems, share questions, and share answers. We want to be together. So right now we need politicians who, out of this pragmatism and out of this consciousness of challenges, real challenges, challenges connected with this war we have and the perspective we have, because we know that Putin will rebuild, or he will be trying to rebuild his power, to be ready to have a conflict with us in the perspective of 3, 5, maybe 7 years. And out of this pragmatism, we should seek for community. We should search for togetherness. We should define to ourselves the new model of community. And this model of community I think of it's not consisted on unity. It's not about unity. It's about being different, but this difference should be manageable. And it's like with having different opinions. It's not the bad thing that we do have different opinions, and we will be having different opinions. But the problem is if we can manage the thing that we have different opinions on many ways, on many things. This is the question. If we can do something with the way we are arguing, not that we are arguing, because it's perfectly normal, especially in this kind of society we are living right now, when we do all have our own mobile phones, social media, our own bubbles. I have my own theory that the biggest challenge for the new generation of politicians will be how to switch peacefully between democracy, or from democracy to bubblecracy. Because right now we are all living in our own bubbles. And in our own bubbles we are taking our choices, we are raising our children, we are making our decisions. It's not a big town square. Look at what Mark Zuckerberg is doing. He's making this Facebook for 20 years now. And when he started, he used to say that it will be a town square. Right now, nobody is talking about any town square, even Mark Zuckerberg. He's telling in different conferences that instead of town square, one town square, we will be having thousands of living rooms, of coffee shops, when we are meeting with our friends, with our relatives, with people who think like us. And I think that this is the challenge, to understand this process and to make it manageable. To make a community out of this bubblecracy we are having right now. Of course, it will make much more difficult to make what I'm doing right now, to make parliaments, to make parliamentary debate in the bubblecracy, not in democracy, because already we have in our parliaments bubbles. You know, here and there, sitting on the right and on the left. And they hate each other, and they don't discuss with each other. There is no way to communicate between these bubbles, because no one created it so far. Because we still, I'm trying to find a metaphor. We like the actor, the same actors, but the play has changed. And we are trying to be the same as we used to be, but the play is completely different. The text is completely different. The context is completely different. We are in the middle of the process of change, the most critical for the humankind for ages. That's why our responsibility of our generation is so complex, is so hard. But we have no choice. We have to deal with it. So what can we expect from the politicians? We can expect, and we should expect, pragmatism. We should, of course, expect from them knowledge, because knowledge is the fundament, is the basis for pragmatism. And out of it, we should expect the ability to create community, not to cancel differences, but to manage them. To tell people, okay, this is your position, this is your way of thinking, I can accept it, this is mine, and now let's try to find something we can do together. Because, it started probably earlier in the 90s, but in the 90s it was obvious for us that the process is going, because it was visible. This change from doing to talking society. And in talking, not talking, we started when all of this gossip platform started, when media, social media platform started, we switched from talking about things to talking about people, about someone. We are not able right now, sometimes, in the public debate to talk about something, but about someone, right? Hey, I'm the Speaker of the Parliament. I know what people who are coming to speak, what they want to speak. Sometimes They know something what should be done, but they know that this is the idiot, you know, and I'm Hitler, or the other one is Goebbels, or the other one is Stalin, and you are the most stupid in this room. You know, we are talking about people. We cannot talk any longer about things to be done, should be done. This is the thing that should be changed. And the last thing I think we can expect from our politicians is this human sensitivity. Because sometimes you will see in Poland, in Lithuania, these stars of the one season. You know, I used to work in television. I hosted the Got Talent show in Poland for many, many years. And I know what is, I know precisely. That's, maybe I'm the proper one to make politics, because I know the difference precisely between show and politics. And I know what does it mean to be in a show and go to be seen and admired, and to go to the politics to serve. And I can tell you that we have to be very careful when we are picking up the politicians, because they will be trying to use the skills of the show business, they will be trying to use the tricks of show business and the tricks media offers these days. But we should, and it's attractive. It attracts attention, because this is what politics is all about. It's like it's like in the shop. It's like in trade, wherever. You have to attract the attention. The fight is to attract the attention. You know that people are short of attention these days. So you have only 2 minutes of attention span, or sometimes 30 seconds of attention span, and it's getting shorter and shorter. So I will try to fight for these 2 seconds of your attention and for your decision. Don't be misled by this. Think about politics when you are picking this politic or another. Ask yourself the question of pragmatism, of knowledge, if this guy knows what's going on here. Is he able to build a community or only his own image? At the end, ask him or her about her or his deepest motivations. This human sensitivity. Know why are you doing it? What are you doing? But for who you are doing it? For your children? For your friends? Do you have any kind of human relations? What kind of relations do you have? Do you able to create relations? Are you able to create relations? Can you show me that you have good relations, that you can be sensitive to someone's voice, that you are able to listen to what someone is saying, to work together, to cooperate? If the answer will be yes, so I think we should take a risk. Because there is this bias that we sometimes asked or we want from politicians that they will be saviors, that they will be idols, you know, they will be perfect, spotless. They won't be, only in the campaign. Later, not. Trust me. But we are not looking for the savior here. We are not looking for the, religious experience here. We are looking for the craftsman. We are looking for someone who will do his work or her work and then give it to you, and you will take it, and it will be useful in your life because you have different things to do. And there will be another one, and another one, and another one. I know that sometimes in the very dangerous times we seek for leaders, charismatic leaders. But in good politics, it should be very proper proportion of charismatic leaders and skillful craftsmen. And it's your responsibility, maybe mine as well when I will switch again and I will come back to normal life from politics, but right now it's your responsibility, citizens, those who are going to elections and vote, to keep this proportion on the good level, in good shape. And I hope that you know it, because you are here at the university, at this very debate, and you are here because you know that something's going on and it's our time to take our responsibility on our shoulders. This is our burden of our generation. I hope that we will make this world safe. I hope that we will make this world a better place. Right now, our chances are, I would say, not very big, but we can do whatever we want. You know, and then we will be able, I hope, to give it to the next generation when our term as people will be over. Politics, it's a good university of life, right? Because in term, the same in the politics, we do have our terms. And everything is going to its end. And there is another circle. There is another race. So I wish you all the best, good choices, always a fresh perspective, and readiness to togetherness, readiness to build, to create, and to differ in not aggressive but creative way. Thank you so much. I'm sorry that I'm talking too much, but you know, I'm still at the very beginning of my service. So it's still very emotional to me. You know, after 2 years or 3 years, I will come to you and I will read some things from the paper. And right now it's all emotional to me because I'm very deep in it, not only as a politician, but as a person. I'm trying to be very sensitive what's going all around me. That's why I'm trying to talk to people, to talk with people about it, because I think that we have to do a lot of things in practically no time. But we will manage.
Thank you very much, Marshall, Your Excellency. So I'll just make one small correction. There's no need to apologize for disturbing our semester. We're very happy, especially lectures with guest speakers.
I know that there is something, you know, whatever, what can interrupt the lecturers, it's appreciated.
Yes.
In primary schools, in high schools,
yeah.
You know, at the university level
so
as well.
So I open the floor now to not only questions, but comments, reactions from the audience. Just one request, please introduce yourself, what are you studying, your name, etc. So please, if anyone has any, yes, please.
Yeah, so hello, my name is I am a student of Institute of Political Science and International Relations of Vilnius University, and I want to ask you a question. Yes, I know that you are a party leader of Polska 2050, and I want to ask you, what do you think is the vision of the politicians of the 2050, like in Poland, in Lithuania? What would be the relationships between these two countries?
You mean between Poland and Lithuania?
Yeah, Poland and Lithuania, and in general, what do you think the politicians of 2050 would be like?
I hope that they will be completely different than we are, you know, and every time, every, not only generation, it's much, you know, this world speeded up so fast. Look at the processes we are having in this, still, democracy, let's call it still democracy, not bubblecracy. People are, we can see it in Poland, people are telling us, showing us, that they just don't want to vote every 4 years. It's just too long. They want to make decisions online. They want to create the political and reshape the political world online using phones, using media, using debates, and sometimes they look like impatient. They want to do this, you know, look at the polls. We do have like a craziness of polls right now in the Polish media. Every day we have a poll about this, about that, about this politician, this solution, other solution. Every day, in every paper, there is a poll. People are saying 65% in favor of that, 40% are against, right? And politicians are changing the course. They're changing the direction after each of these polls. Maybe we should, I don't know, some kind of institutionalize it by making referendums more often. right? Like in Switzerland or in other countries, my party is very pro-referendum, very proactive, being proactive in democracy. We want people to take, to be vocal, to take the positions and show the positions more often, because they need it and they are showing it. So if you're asking me what will happen in 2050, I hope it will be completely different generation of politicians. You know, I'm the marshal of Sejm. It's my first time in the Sejm. So it was quite shocked for me. I was quite shocked. It was quite a shock for me when I first entered this chamber of 460 people sitting all together, talking with each other constantly. They are talking. I asked one of my ministers, cooperators, I asked himself, he's sitting there for 30 years. And I asked him, minister, is this level of noise I should react to? And he looked with me like, you know, with a pity, and said, Mr. Marshall, it is nothing, right? They are shouting at each other. They are, you know, sometimes I can see people who are sitting next to TV screen, you know, with popcorn and commenting what's going on, you know, commenting what I'm saying, what the others are saying. And they are just sitting in front of TV, shouting, you know, thank God, not yet, throwing things. But it's like sometimes like a madhouse, you know. There is a minority of, I would say, I don't know, 60, 70 people who are sitting there, you know, with face palm on their faces and asking themselves the question, what's going on? What's going on here? And we are here to solve the problems of the people, not our own problems with being watched last week, right? And we are working sometimes with the 60 people, with the 70 people. It is complicated. I don't know what will be the future same. You know, 2050, it's not a long distance from now. It's 20-something years, right? 26? So in 26 years, everything can change. Because right now, the process is so fast that, 10 years is like 100 or even 1,000 years in the past of our ancestors. So what can we do? I don't know. Maybe it will be kind of more interactive. France, they tested this kind of application, this app for mobile phones. It was quite nice and it was quite good looking. You were able to pick it was of course made by the party. And you were informed what kind of meeting is in your neighborhood, what is going on in the party, what are the debates. But members of parliament were able to go to the parliament, to the place where they are speaking in the parliament. And during the speech, they were taking the phone and said, okay, we are debating over this or that. So let's ask people, what do they think? And they were just, you know, opening the app and asking. And in the real time, they have the answer of 5,000 voters, of 10,000 voters, for or against. They were saying, look, what do people think, right? It's online. It's happening right now. We are asking, we are getting answer. Maybe we will be using tools of this kind more, I don't know, in the future. Maybe. I don't know, because media are changing dramatically, and media are sometimes formatting politicians. You know, I have right now the problem with we have the problem with two former members of parliament in the Polish parliament who were sentenced by court. They lost the mandates, but they are saying they didn't lose the mandate, so they are still the members of parliament. And I remember the first session of the parliament after it happened, right? What a mess! What a mess! You know, media people, journalists, I love them, and they know it. They were calling every 5 minutes, asking, you know that they are inside. We said, no, they are not inside. But the presidential car came, you know, to the other building, and they are probably in the trunk, hidden in the trunk. President came with them, hidden in the trunk. Do you know it? I said, no, that's impossible, but we will double check. Okay,
5 minutes of silence, and after 5 minutes, another journalist is coming. Hey, you know that they are in the garage? No, in the basement, they're hiding in the basement. And they know that's impossible. But one of the members of parliament told us that they are in the basement, hiding there. Check it. So, of course, we sent some guards, you know, to check if there is anyone in the basement. Of course not, you know, but there were headlines, you know, in all the media, they are hiding in the basement, right? And people were buying popcorn and watching it, you know. Are they in the basement? Are they in the main hall? Where are they? Sometimes we are not the only ones to blame, you know. Sometimes there are media on the scene. Sometimes there are people who are consuming it because media are giving people the thing they want to watch. And the problem is with us, not with the media, not with politicians. It's like in the shop, right? You want to have this thing, so you will be provided with this thing. Nothing more. It's just, you know, like a business. So, if you are asking me what will happen, this is a very interesting question. What will happen between Polish and Lithuania in 2050? I think that we have no choice. We have to tighten our bonds. We have to be closer to each other. We have to cooperate on the military level. We have to cooperate on the social level. We have to be very, very close to each other, because historically we are similar. And right now, we need completely different definition of this being a family when you have this idiot, you know, next door. And this crazy and dangerous aggressor. Just next door, just in the next room. That's why I think that we will, until 2050, we'll be ready to create some kind of common military forces. That strong Poland will guarantee the strength of Lithuania in European Union, in NATO. That we will be modern societies of the middle of the 21st century. It means that we will be ready to face the challenges of the divided societies, of the societies which are getting older and older. Every year, every generation, we are getting older. There is less and less of us. And finally, that we will be ready to adapt to the completely new world. We were discussing with Mr. Rector just before this meeting how important it is for universities, for the scholars, to adapt to this world when we are, you know, we are sometimes functioning with these waves. I can remember these waves from my younghood in the 90s in Poland. When I started thinking of going to university, everyone wanted to be a manager, you know? Doesn't matter what does it mean, but everyone went to the university to be a manager of this kind of company or the other, because we were the children of the young capitalism, so we thought that, you know, the management is everything. It's our own new religion. Later, a little bit, it's a small wave of humanistic sciences, then huge wave, and we are expecting, we are having it right now, experiencing right now, of going to engineering, to mathematics. Right now we are all talking about this artificial intelligence, and we know that the world will be reshaped by it, and it will be completely different job markets, because some of the simple words will be done by the artificial intelligence, so everybody is running into this kind of direction. But I think that in the next 5 years, or in the perspective of 10 years, the security sciences and defense sciences and everything connected with military industry sciences, this will be the most interesting, in so many ways, the point of reference for young scholars, young students, because right now all the countries in the world, Poland is spending 4% of GDP for the defense right now. We are spending enormous amounts of money for the military sector. So we will need researchers, we will need scientists, we will need thinkers how to create this new global security system. And when there are money, there will be money for research, there will be money for development, there will be money for creating new ways of learning, I think that we have a choice. In 10, 20 years, probably we will be much more militarized societies than we are right now. I hope that more conscious, not only having guns, you know, and tanks, but more conscious how complex security is in the modern world. But I hope that in 2050 we will be quicker in the democracy, wiser in the democracy, and we will be ready to face the challenges we have them right now, right on the table. And this is the first course. I'm afraid there will be second as well, and the dessert at the end. But maybe it's something good in this challenge, you know. Maybe there is no, and I'm sure, this is no reason to be depressed. There is no reason to be depressed about it. It's a challenge. Challenge is exciting. You know, challenge is something we can face. It. Our humanity grows when we are facing the challenges, right? We are becoming humans more and more when there is a challenging situation, because we are different than machines and different than artificial intelligence. We can create. We can invent. We can be completely different. This is our X factor. This is something special we have, and machines don't. Right? These are the times for human beings, not for machines. Machines can help us, but we will need human beings more and more in the upcoming years.
Thank you very much. I would also add that the dream is that we'll be able to reach Vilnius and Warsaw by train in 2050. Okay, so there was a
simple,
hand.
Yeah, but very, 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 very important.
Hello, my name is Diamanta Rumputa. I'm a PhD student at law faculty of this university, and I have a question, of course, about law. So,
if you're going to get out of prison.
So, not about prison, but during your introductory remarks, you spoke about European affairs and issues that we face. And one of the issues that Europe has faced for the last, I think, 8 years was related to the rule of law situation in Poland. By that, I mean the situation with the courts and also the media. So, right now, as Poland have a new government, what are your policies of the things that have been legislated and done, and are you planning to, fix the situation with rule of law in Poland? That's it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for this question. Of course we have to fix this situation. Of course we have to restore the rule of law in Poland. There is no doubt about it. But the problem we are facing right now is that our predecessors, they not only changed one party to another, or one interpretation of the law to the other. But they demolished, they took away the safeguards from the system. I mean the Constitutional Court, which right now, really, believe me, is not functioning like Constitutional Court in the free country. It's sleeping for half a year or even more, doing nothing, literally nothing. And then, you know, there is a week when the phone from the party office is calling and they are making sentences every day, or sometimes even more often, you know, to fix this, fix that, fix the other thing, and to show that we cannot do this, do that. And they are soldiers. They are soldiers of the other army, and they should be judges. And they should concentrate on the constitution, not on the interest of this or the other party. So we have to repair it. So we are discussing right now, we are debating right now over the law. I don't know if we will agree with the president on this kind of law, with the opposition, to rebuild the Constitutional Court and to make judges of the Constitutional Court to be elected with the 3-5 majority. So it's very, very difficult to be reached this goal, you know, in the parliament. And you are involving opposition to this process in this panel. It will be not only like, you know, this guy is from this party and the other one is from the other, but you have to have more people, more votes on your side from the opposition as well. You have, of course, you have President's signature on this law. We want to solve this situation for good. I don't know if our president, he will be there for 400 something days more at the office, a little bit more than a year. If he will sign it or not, I don't know. I have no idea. But I know that the thing we have to do is to propose the solution, not only the diagnosis, and then try to implement it. Of course, I can imagine myself the situation when the opposition will be not will not willingly cooperate, and the president will say that under those circumstances he cannot do anything and he won't sign. So we will wait, right? We have a little bit more than a year. We were waiting for 8 years. We were waiting for 8 years. So we had a plenty of time. And we will wait for one more year, or even two, if it will take 2 years. We will be patient, but we will do it. Because it should be done. For the safety of the Polish people. Look what's going on right now with these judges and this system of making nomination of judges. Right now, me, as a Marshal of Sejm, I do have two different sentences of the Supreme Court in the same matter. One is yes, and the other is no. So look, okay, I'm Marshal of Sejm, I can hire lawyers, I can debate, I can ask professors, but look at the common citizens in the court, somewhere in Poland. You are going to the court and you are receiving two sentences. You are married and you are divorced. You inherited something from your grandma and you not inherited something from your grandma, and maybe another one that you are a grandma and another one that you are not a grandma, right? And now pick whatever you want. It's all not about politicians, it's about safety of people in their everyday life. And that's why we are so determined to repair it. And we will be patient, and we won't be like, you know, seeking revenge. We want this process to be inclusive. We want this process to be much more than just a party, political party process. We want it to be right on the safety of the society level. And of course, you know, there are so many lawyers on this, and you yourself, on this, in this room. So you know when there are two lawyers there for your opinions, and sometimes even four. But we politicians, we should set a stage. We should set the rules for lawyers to debate what the interpretation should be. And finally, there should be the referee, like the Constitutional Court, like the last one to have the word. But if we will be not ready and there will be no way to repair it, we should maybe think about different solutions, like just letting the courts to sentence on the base on constitution, you know, directly. Maybe this will be the way. We will see. We are determined. We have the ideas. We are trying to seek the political support for it, because at the very end we have votes for it in the parliament. We will be trying to persuade our opposition, president, but if not, believe me, we will wait and we will do it. Because this rule of law, it's not only about European money, it's not about our political victory or being defeated, it's not about it. It's about the safety of our people and safety of yours as well. When you will come to Poland, you have to be sure that these are the European courts in Poland. When I'm coming to Lithuania, I want to be sure that if I will go to court, it will be the European court judging me in the same standards I can expect in the whole European Union, right? It's our right. So we are fighting for our right. We are not fighting with this guy or the other. We are fighting for our right. And it will take some time. They were demolishing it for 8 years. So it will take much more than a month or two or three to restore it, to rebuild it. It's just obvious. we are patient and we are persistent and we are determined. So we will do it. But it's of course the matter of the big political debate right now in Poland. So we will manage.
Thank you. There was a hand here on the left, so there, please.
Good day. My name is Vladislav. I'm studying international law, and my question, I want to go back to the topic of this discussion about, you gave such excellent points about problem like politics is like entertainment right now, and all these other points, and like everyone screams that he's an idiot, he's something else, and etc. But the problem is, we need to admit that politics are boring. And for example, I'm as a lawyer, I hear a lot that you're all the same like politics. You write legislation or something like that, but you don't care about that stuff and etc. And that's why we choose people because they entertain. For example, I'm Ukrainian, and partly I'm not gonna say about like Zelensky or something like that, but let's admit there was a lot of rumors news in international media that he's a comic, he's an actor, etc. So the problem is not what, but how can European citizens and like citizens of their home countries listen to politicians, learn about them, what they should do to learn about their politics and how they should elect. How do you, as a politician, expect what European citizens should do to listen to you? Thank you.
That's a very complex question. Because when I started to hear what you are saying, I thought to myself that I'd love to be politics boring again. You know, this is my... here is Staszek Zakroczynski, he's the chief of my cabinet and my legal advisor, and he's the guy who thinks that legislation is the most sexy thing in the world, you know? Reading all of these paragraphs, sentences, answering to the Constitutional Court, and I admire him, truly. You know, it is so exciting for him, not for me. Politics is about legislation, it's about law. I might think that it's not maybe the most sexy thing in the world, I could name some others, but you are making legislation when you are making politics. It's in parliament that this is all about it. So you have to treat it very seriously. So if politics would be boring again, maybe it will be good for us. Because it will be concentrated on paragraphs, on legislation, on the meritum, on the most important things. Maybe we are living in a world where really there should be no push that everything can be exciting. You know, we need some exciting things, some boring things. It's like trying to make a cake. Only with the salt, pepper, sugar, you know, and things like this, or any kind of dish. No, you have to have something concrete in it. Something maybe boring sometimes. But on the other hand, I thought to myself that, let politics be boring. So who will be getting attention then? So maybe it will be better for the politics to be a little bit exciting, because then we will keep people's attention safe. Because you know who's getting attention these days, right? I hosted Got Talent show in Poland for 12 years. So I know something about getting attention. You know, I can remember the guy who came to our program trying to hit the nail into his nose with the hammer. And he asked himself a question. Ask him a question, why are you doing this? You know that you want to win this program, there is no chance. And he told us, who cares, I will be the star on YouTube, right? So maybe we should try to attract people's attention to good things and to keep this attention away from the guys who will be hitting nails with the hammer into the noses, right? Because one day they will come and they will see, okay, so I'm the one who are attracting attention. Look at Donald Trump. What is he doing, right? Getting attention his entire life. This guy is all about getting attention to himself. He was doing it as a showman in TV, as an entrepreneur. He's getting attention. And what do we have out of it? What kind of outcome do we have? So I think that maybe sometimes politics just shouldn't avoid this factor of being a little bit exciting, right? I wanted it not to be exciting, but just, I don't know, interesting somehow. In Poland, something very strange, but in a miraculous way happened, on the 15th of October last year. We had, as you said, turnout of 74% in our elections in October. There was no war inside of the country. There was no social earthquake in the country. But it was 74% because young people came to vote, because people thought that there's something going on, and it's a special moment. We have to take our part of responsibility. And what happened to Sejm? I know that it was kind of a honeymoon and things like that after the change, and it was the only place because we were. I was the only leader of the former opposition on the office for a month, right? Because the former coalition was trying to keep the positions, trying to keep the government for another month. So I was the only one there, and the same was the only place. There was no new government, only same. And when I took the office, it was 40,000 viewers, subscribers on YouTube, and right now it's over 700,000. Right? People are watching it. In this first month, people were going to the cinemas, to the theaters, to watch Sejm. They were sitting, they were buying, this stuff to eat, to drink, and they are watching and commenting. In the movie theaters, in Warsaw. So people sometimes want politics to be interesting. And of course my opposition, my opponents are coming to me and saying, yes, this is this clown, this is this showman. He came from the show business and he's changing our noble Sejm into the show. And of course they are hypocrites, because they are first to take advantage of it, right? Because they were listening by thousands of people, and right now 700,000 people are listening when they are insulting me, right? They are in the middle of the stage. They have the moment of fame because of this mechanism. It should be, I think that everything is about proportion here. That we have sometimes be serious, sometimes be human. Sometimes you have to see the good argument in the parliament when people are debating. Sometimes maybe there is a place for being silent for a moment. For, I don't know, to show your sympathy to someone. It should be just like, we need humans in politics. And I'm trying to be a human in this parliament. I'm trying to laugh when it's time to laugh. Sometimes I'm joking, and it's, with my jokes, there are some people who like this kind of humor, or they don't, or they doesn't. But the thing is not to overdose. The thing is to be right on the place and on time, and not to make too much. I can remember some of my opponents who are coming to me and shouting that I'm Hitler, that I'm Stalin, that I'm Goebbels, that I'm the Marshal of the Communist Sejm, and the other things. And I asked one of them, and I told him, look, I will be here for 2 more years. And you are running out of metaphors right now, and it's only a month or two. So please keep some metaphors for later, because if you are right now calling me Stalin or Hitler or Goebbels or the Marshal of the Communist Sejm, who will be calling me in the next 3 months? months or 6 months. So take care of yourself and of your expression. So I think that the crucial thing is not to overdose. Try to be human. There's only one thing I'm missing in this site. Really, truly, as a human being sitting there for 3 months. It's silence. I'm telling you, it's silence. Sometimes there are the moments at the very beginning of the session of the parliament when we are commemorating late members of the parliament who died recently from the previous terms as well, you know, starting from the first term in the 90s. And I'm trying to keep this moment of silence, but it lasts like 10 seconds. Someone is starting to pray, and of course I'm praying with him because he started to pray. But we are, you know, I know something about it myself, that we are like a society, we are like a generation who is afraid of silence. Look sometimes to the churches, when there is a silent adoration. I don't know, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, someone starts to sing, to say this rosary, to say this kind of prayer. Like silence is killing us. We are not used to be in silence for a second, for 5 minutes, for 30 minutes. Silence is something strange. And I think that in silence we can find a way sometimes. This is my rule I'm trying to apply because I'm very nervous and choleric, you know. And wiser people teach me that when you want to react, stop for a second. Even for 2 seconds, for 3 seconds, for one more breath, and then react. Not to go and react instantly, you know, after something happens and you are reacting right away. No, stop for a half a second inside of you, and then react. And it will be much different. Much different. You will see. Try it in your own lives and you will see what kind of difference we can achieve by the simple trick. You know, I'm talk. I have one digression after another. I'm going to the rhetoric roundabout and I know how to, you know, go away of it, so forgive me, but it was a very complex question of yours, very complex one. Where is the border between show and getting this attention and making things done? I worked for media, in media for 25 years. I was a journalist, I was not only hosting the Got Talent show, but I was a columnist, I was the editor, I worked for radio, for internet, for newspapers, papers, for television. I started two charity foundations. Right now they are working in 14 countries, I guess, all over the world. So I traveled a lot, I met a lot of people. Right now for 3 years I'm doing this politics, and it's probably not the last thing I'm doing in my life, I hope. But I must tell you that this world is getting more and more complicated, but the fundamental things are staying at exactly the same place. They stay for ages. And the most important thing is to be a human being with your human sympathy, with your human empathy, with your sensitivity, with your imagination, with your ability to create relations. This is the most important thing. And my biggest fault in the politics is that I like all of my opponents, all of them, all of them. And I'm really ready to have a cup of tea with them right away, right now, if there will be the chance. I'm organically unable to hate people. And probably it will occur that this is my biggest fault, because someone one day will kill me, in this metaphorical, political way, maybe not physical, because I won't be able to hate him. But we'll see. And of course, I'm not a Gandhi, right? I can fight. I love to argue. I love to go to the, you know, fist fight when it's only possible. But at the end of the day, we should after every fist fight, we should be able to have a team together.
Thank you. So there's something, I guess.
Yeah. Valentin, and I'm the student of economics. With a future, I have a view. hope so. Yeah, let me preface my question by saying that not as a Pole, but as a person that has a bond really close to my heart, I'm very pleased to see the democratization process in Poland that began a couple of months ago, and that you are also, of course, a big part of. But when I looked at the question of this discussion, I immediately thought to myself that what can not only European citizens per se expect from the politicians, but also the European residents, sort of not as citizens per se, but also people from different nationalities, foreigners. So how would you say about that? How European politicians can represent also the foreigners, as myself also, a foreigner is not like a European citizen. Yeah, thanks.
And where are you from?
Ukraine.
From Ukraine. You know, migration is a natural process all over the world, and people will be migrating. And of course we can, try to do rhetoric and whatever we can, but people will be migrating because they are migrating. For years, for decades. Look what happened in the United States in the 20th century when this migration from Mexico and from other countries started, and these migrants started to work in houses, in industry, here and there, but there was a huge gap, a human gap. In Mexico, in Guatemala, in Honduras, in other places. So this gap was filled with people from Vietnam, from Asia, coming to fulfill this gap. And in Vietnam, this gap was fulfilled by people coming from, I don't know, Cambodia, Myanmar, and other places. People are migrating, and they will be migrating. You know, and of course they are migrating for different reasons. Some of them are going out of the war. Some of them are just seeking for the normal life, for the good conditions of life for the children. I can remember the story of my father who in the early 80s escaped from Poland to Germany, right? He was a member of the Solidarity Movement. It was impossible for him to find a job in Poland, so he decided to escape. I can remember, I was a child. I can remember that my father was learning English and I was too young to understand that he's going to Germany and he's learning English, that there is something wrong in this equation, right? And when he sent us from the camp, because he was in the camp for the asylum seekers in Frankfurt, and when he sent us the first card out of there, it was that it's quite difficult here, you know, my sons, because everybody speaks German. And I thought to myself, what a cruelty of life, what an injustice, you know, that my father learned English so hard and they are speaking German. What's going on? And it was like, you know, I can't remember it like that the world is not just. You know, this feeling from, I don't know how old I was, like 6, something, 5. So, people are migrating. I can remember my neighborhood in Białystok, in Poland. It was practically empty when it comes to men, right? Because women and families stayed, and all the men went away to States, to Austria, to Germany. Right now, we have migration, of course, from Ukraine because of the war. We accepted like 2 million people from Ukraine in Poland only, right after the war. But we have migration, people seeking for jobs from Philippines, from India, from Bangladesh, from all the parts of the world, and we have to manage this process. Because every society has its own capacity of integration, of accumulating people of different cultures, different sensitivities, different traditions, and should be conscious of it. We should know in the countries like Poland, in Germany, in other countries, what is our own capacity? How many people we can accept without causing problems. Because there will be problems. Where there are differences and they are not properly managed, there are problems. That's why we need long-term migration policy, not only in Poland. Right now, a lot of countries in Europe, they are reacting ad hoc. People are coming, so we are trying to do something, and there is a fire here, fire there, we have to extinguish it, we have to do this, that. Sometimes, when we are doing things, working things in a hurry, there can be victims then. Because we are working in this extraordinary process, we are speeding up some processes, we are too fast sometimes, we are trying to save someone, we are trying to do this and that, and there are victims. Every country should have a long-term policy. We in Poland know what will be the demography of Poland in the next couple of years. And it will be dramatic. And we know that right now we are around 38 million, but in 2050 we will be around 31 million. Or even 30 million. And of course we will be doing as a government to make the situation better, but I don't know if we will be successful. We have to try, but I don't know what will be the outcome. That's why we have to prepare for the completely different situation on the job market, with the social welfare system, because this system we do have right now was designed, not only in Poland, in Lithuania as well, and in many other countries, was designed for a completely different model of society. It was designed for the society we used to have 50 years ago. And right now the demography is completely different. I mean public transport, I mean education, I mean healthcare system. It was designed for the world, but the world is completely different. For the world which is not with us. It's not our world. It used to be, but it's no longer. Right now we have to rewrite it, we have to redesign it. And when we are conscious about all of these processes, we know what will go on, we can tell us that, okay, in the next year we will be ready to accept 5,000 doctors from this kind of countries, and from this country, and we are giving them our green cards, our visas, right? For coming and staying with families, and we are preparing with local governments, and of course, supported by the government funds, local societies, by talking with local governments, but making programs with local schools, local universities, local businesses, local companies, you know, how to create the environment, safe environment, to accept these people safely in the society. And the next year, another 2,000 workers, I don't know, engineers, right? From here. And of course, still some margin for the humanitarian visas. Because we are the country of solidarity, and we want to show people and show the world that we are, that our Polish hospitality, it's not only a slogan, it's not only, when there is someone to be saved, someone to be cured, someone to be treated in the hospital, we should help this person. So it's not a rocket science, you know? And we know how difficult it was in Germany, in the Netherlands, in France, in many, many countries, in Belgium. But we know how to learn out of their mistakes, their misleadings. We know it. So we will be the vocal voice in the Polish politics to create long-term migrational policy in Poland, but on the European level as well. Putin will be sending us people in thousands. Why Putin is investing so much into North African countries right now? I used to work in Africa. I know the place somehow. Look what happened in Mali. Look what's happening in Mali for 20 years now. Look what's going on in Burkina Faso when they made a coup. And right now the colonel connected with the Kremlin is the leader of Burkina Faso, the country I know best because we used to work there. Look what's going on in the Central African Republic. Why is he doing this? Because he wants new colonies? No. He wants to have the human weapon. He will be pushing to destabilize, basing on these people tragedies, It's so awesome, it's so inhuman when you are using human beings as a weapon, but you want to create this migrational tsunami and put it into the borders of the European Union. That's why he's so active for years in Africa. And we have to be ready for it. We have to know it, that he's doing it, and we have to make our own decisions. You know, right now on the European level, it's not only the crisis management. Okay, they came with the boats in thousands, so we have to do something right now, and we will be trying to fight with each other. We will accept 2,000, you will accept 3,000, and maybe we will go out of the European Union because you are sending us migrants. No, we know what's going on. This migrational pressure, it will be not only on the border with Lithuania, Finland, or Poland, but you will see new waves of migration coming out of Africa. And we have to be ready as a European Union to this process. And we have to create a responsible migrational policy. We have to work in these very countries with our own counter-propaganda to what he's doing. We need very wisely and precisely aimed development aid in these countries, because these guys, I work with them. They are selling, you know, all the wealth of the family. They are sometimes selling houses. They are selling, you know, all they have to buy a ticket to these boats, because they are following the dreams. Because the life in these countries is just, you know, you just cannot stand. And this guy, I mean Putin, is using it. He's using this process. So we have to be as wise, we should be able to go there and work on the source of the problem and solve the sources of the problem of the migration, not only face the consequences. So I think, you know, that we need politicians not only on the national level, but also on the European level, who will be able to think of Europe as of a process. I don't know how the situation is in Lithuania, but in Poland, to send someone to European Parliament is sometimes like sending him to the luxury exile, right? For the political retirement. He will go, he's a very good comrade, so he will go to the European Parliament, he will make millions of money because they are paid well, and nothing will happen, and forget it. So the next one, please. No, we should pick the guys we will be sending in June to European Parliament very, very carefully. And we should ask them very difficult questions. Do you know what's going on in North Africa? What should be the solution of this problem? What should we do with Ukraine in the perspective of 5 years? Should it be in the European Union then or not? Should we start the process or not? What to do with Belarus? What to do with this common market we are trying to defend? And of course, we are right. In the situation of the globalization of the world, try to ask them this kind of questions. Not only how much will you earn, not only do you like Brussels or do you like Strasbourg or you know, things like that. I think that we have a work to be done. You do have your work at the university, but you as well. We have our work to be done as citizens. But we are, I mean, that, you know, I know that our fault as citizens is that we are not too picky when it comes to politics. That we are just taking it for granted, as it goes. This one is okay, this is quite okay with this sentence I've heard. I catch the phrase here, catch the phrase there. It's quite okay. We are not too picky. We are not asking them questions. We are not demanding from them knowledge, ability to build, not only to destroy. And I hope that if we will change our demands, the politicians will change and the politics will change. If we will decide that we want something different, we will be given something different. And that's the whole story of being in politics and making it.
So thank you very much, Your Excellency, for finding the time.
If my cooperators are getting close to me, I know that the time is over.
Yes.
So most persuasive.
I'd like to apologize, but we're running out of time, so we cannot take any more questions. But I'm grateful for your activity, for your initiative. So, Mr. Speaker, you're always welcome at our university. So, if you have the time and more opportunities arise, you're welcome to repeat this experience. As far as I know, according to protocol, we'll have to make a photo.
Absolutely, and. For the very end, remember, please, that you should graduate the university. I didn't. You know, I studied for 5 years, and finally, I found no time because I started to work books, write books, work, and do other stuff, and I had no time to finish the process. That's why I'm coming right now to the parliament, and they are calling me, that I'm a high school graduate, you know? And they are trying to insult me, of course, but I'm very proud that I'm graduated high school. Don't make my mistake, graduate from university, and be always sure that nobody from the opposition can call you high school graduate, and even the rotative one, because there will be rotation of the post of the Marshal of Sejm after 2 years. When I will be died one day, maybe this will be the thing written on my grave. Rotative high school graduate. I think it tells everything about me. Thank you so much. Thank you for your patience. Thank you. See you next time.